Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday Morning MV Pro Call. Today is January 30th, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which, of course, you can do by subscribing to Motor Vitality on whatever podcast application you happen to use, or by visiting MotorVitality.com, where you can listen to years and years and years worth of archives, which I was a little behind because I was out of town and just crazy busy the last 3 weeks. So I finally got, as of yesterday, everything is caught up. They are all there. And I finished out 2024 and realized that we had a total of 45 calls in 2024, which is a little less than what we usually have. Usually we have about 47 or 48 a year. I think we took time off in July, a couple weeks in July that this time, but we only had 45. But if you are interested at all, you can gain access to the last 3 or 4 years is on the website. We have them up, and all you got to do is just click on them, and you can listen to them. And that's at MotorVitality.com. If you want to go back 15, we've been doing this now for 17 years almost, and if you want to go back that far, I have all of them. I don't know why you really would, although there were some really cool interviews we did way back when. And I did, you know, I had some special guests, and there were some calls that we did back then, but I have them all, so you can get all of that stuff on MotorVitality.com, and you basically just, for the old ones, you have to just download the zip files and listen to them. I've got them zipped and loaded up there. Also wanted to let you know we have 2 spots left for our sales class, which begins on February 12th. That's the virtual. So there's a half a day, 4 hours on the 12th. That's a week from yesterday. Coming up here pretty 2 weeks from yesterday. Yeah, 2 weeks from yesterday. And then there's on site 3 days of pretty intensive training here on site, in Michigan at our facility where in the sales class, it's very sales focused. So we teach, plumbing assessments, we teach sink demo, we teach what questions to ask, how to recognize pipe size and really how to prepare the customer for the installation and how to, you know, it's a focus on how to build value, not selling on price, but selling on value. And so if you're interested in that, please love to have you, love to host you. And then we also have our next premium class. That's the one with the WQA certification eligibility. We have a couple spots available for that still. That one, the virtual, starts on February 10th. And then the on-site, that goes, of course, for 3 weeks, Monday and Friday, 9 to 1. And then they're on-site the first, I think it's the 3rd through the 7th in March, the first week of March, something. It's that first full week of March, they're on-site. They'll do a minimum of 4 or 5 installs. And it's very, just very valuable information. You come out of that with eligibility for the exam to take the certified installer exam. Take a look at our other schedules and the other classes we have at MotorVitality.com. Love to have you. And then with that, I'm going to start the call off the way I do pretty much every week, which is by asking, was there anything anybody learned this last week that you wish you had known before? Anything that happened that is worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country, or anything we can help you with? Anybody have anything? All right, then we'll jump right into our topic. And we have talked about this before, but as I was reviewing, as I was uploading and sort of organizing the website yesterday and putting the, you know, last year's calls on, I noticed it had been a while since we talked about it. I know we've alluded to it a little bit, but this came up a little this week in topic. I was talking to one of my clients there's something way back when, and you guys have heard me mention on this call many times, make reference to Tom Hopkins and How to Master the Art of Selling Anything. For those of you that are new to the call or who haven't heard this before, I love – that's one of my all-time favorite sales books. And I actually I read it, and then I had the audio version of the seminar, and then I actually went and saw Tom Hopkins a couple times, and he's pretty phenomenal. The thing that I want to put on there, and this is the case with most sales trainers or, you know, people who write these books, including mine, right? My book, I would say it's this way. I think it's a mistake to go into these seminars or to read these books thinking, oh man, I'm going to do everything that they say. You have to read it with an ear for your own personality. And Tom Hopkins was that way. I'd say a fair portion of it that I listened to going, God, that's so old school. There's no way I would ever do that. That would never work for me. But the stuff that did work for me, or, you know, I had to listen to it objectively too and sit back and go, okay, I don't feel like that would work for me. Maybe I'm going to try it. Maybe I can modify what he's saying to make it work for me. Maybe I take the substance of what he says and modify it. And that's the way I think you have to listen to any, you know, if you're listening to it on audio or if you're reading it, that's, I think, the way you have to approach all of the sales training, whether it's a seminar or an audio book or you're reading it or whatever you're doing. I think that's your approach, the necessary approach, if you're going to get the best out of it. But there was something that I remember. Tom, How to Master the Art of Selling Anything was one of the first books that I listened to. I had an audio cassette. And, you know, when I was out in sales and I was canvassing and I really wanted to make it work, you know, so I had that thing in and I was listening to it. He said, one of the things that really resonated with me on that early one was he said that salespeople, when they first come into an industry, they're super excited. They're really excited. They have the enthusiasm. They've got the drive. They're willing to go out there and do what it takes. They're studying. They're learning. You know, they're so excited. But they don't have the knowledge. They don't have the so they come in with the enthusiasm and the excitement and the knowledge, but they don't. Or I'm sorry. They come in with the enthusiasm, the excitement, and the drive and the desire to have the knowledge, but they don't yet have the knowledge. As they gain the knowledge, meaning the longer they are working in the job, they lose some of that excitement and some of that enthusiasm. And so what you end up with are a lot of people, a lot of salespeople out there that have the knowledge, they have the experience, but they don't have the drive or the enthusiasm that they had when they first started. And one of the things Tom Hopkins said that I try and remember even after 27 years in this industry is, how do you keep that or replenish that drive and that enthusiasm and that excitement you had when you first came into the industry, and combine that with the knowledge that you gain, you know, from the experience of being in the industry? And in addition to that, you know, I think salespeople come in. We talked last week about scripts. Thank you, Scott, for that topic. And, you know, I think what ends up happening is that salespeople, when they come in, because they don't know anything, they're willing to learn that script. They want to know how to word it. And so they learn the script and they study the script and they repeat the stuff and they say it and they're doing it enthusiastically. And then as they gain knowledge and feel more comfortable about how to pull pieces from the script or utilize the script here and there, they don't have that enthusiasm. And I'll give you an example of that I see frequently, you know, the soap flask, right? So when we, many of us, when we first come in the industry. I mean, do you remember the very first time? I don't know if you guys do or if you've seen this or not, but do you remember the very first time you saw you as a as an employee? You came into this industry and you saw your demonstration kit, your test kit. I mean, does anybody remember that here? Remember the very first time they ever saw their test kit, their demo kit? I know some of you may not be using the demonstration kit, but those of you that are using it, remember the first time you saw it?
Oh yeah.
What was your was that Scott?
It was very intimidating.
Yeah, but also pretty cool, right? You're like, I mean, did you were you excited about the kit?
Oh yeah. As a matter of fact, you know, they teach you how to do the sink demo. And we do glass wash, hand wash, the face cloth, and they tell you to go home and practice. And who do you practice with? And my very first sale I ever made was to my wife. I'm not afraid to say that my wife, I really outkicked my coverage. She makes double what I make. But when I came home, what got her was the glass wash, and then she could take five baths in a row and no ring around the tub. So my first sale was actually to my wife, and that really like got it for me.
You know, I think Scott and anybody else remember the first time they saw the test kit or had that experience?
Yeah. Kelly, excuse me, Kelly. I remember, this is Catherine from Patterson's.
Hey,
how are you? It was intimidating. My dad bought me this test kit that was the size of a small suitcase and, lots of bells and whistles in it. And I remember my first sales call like 25 years ago, and I couldn't even close the case. It was kind of embarrassing.
Yeah. Anybody else? So now, you know, what ends up happening, and Scott, you know, what you're talking about there is exactly key. You sold your wife, which is sometimes the hardest person to sell. You know, to be able to convince them, the friends and, you know, a lot of companies, they come in and they want people to kind of exploit their friends and family and, you know, but I think friends and family, sometimes they're harder to sell on the stuff. But the point is that you went, you knew how to do the stuff and you used it and it was excited. The thing that you got to remember and that we all have to remember is that your customers, when you open that test kit, for 25 years, Catherine, you've been doing, and by the way, it's so nice to have you on the call.
Yeah, it's nice to be back. Yeah.
It's your customers feel that way about that test kit. They feel the same way you did. Because maybe they saw it from a competitor. Maybe a competitor came in and opened up the test kit and did the stuff, but in all likelihood, they didn't. They have not seen that thing, because what ends up happening is people, they come in to the industry. You know, the soap flask, as I started to say, that's one of the big ones that I see all the time. So I, as a trainer, it's a little easier for me to remember this because I teach people how to do the sync demo. You know, when we the sales class that we have coming up here in a couple of weeks, you know, we're going to spend a lot of time at the sink, teaching them how to, and you know, Scott, I was thinking about this last week when we were talking about it. There are scripts because I teach them, you know, kind of what to say and how to say it when you're doing that demo. I mean, it is important that you word it properly and everything. So there really are some, you know, I feel like sometimes after conversations that you and I'm talking right to you, just Scott, we're going to ignore everybody else in this call. I'm going to talk right to you, but I don't mean to poo-poo the scripts because it is important the way we word things. But anyway, I teach people, you know, at the sync demo, and I show them guys, you know, a lot of times it's installers, right, that we have, or new people to the industry or that haven't done a lot of sales, and they come here, or when I'm there on site, or, you know, when I'm teaching salespeople how to do this stuff, and I show them the soap flask, and that soap flask test blows their mind. They always are amazed by it. They, I mean, it's like you can see it on their faces. They're not faking it, you know. And they're like, oh, wow, that's so cool. And for the first, you know, month or two or three or whatever, they're out there doing that demonstration until they have one, maybe they have that one customer that says, oh, no, I've already seen that. I know that. And then they stop doing it because they had one person out of 100 calls. They had one person who said that they'd seen it before. They don't want to see it or whatever. And they start cutting corners. And the salesperson justifies that because they now have seen it 100 times. They've seen the soap flask demo 100 times. And so it's not impressive. It loses its excitement for the salesperson. And they forget something that you guys have heard me say on this call for a long time, if you've listened to it, that it's not their story. It's the customer's story. And so we have to go back. You know, we have to remember that the customers are seeing it for the first time. It's the customers are as amazed when they are seeing that soap flask demonstration or the tea demonstration or the ice cubes or the hand washing or whatever demonstration you're doing to show that there's a difference between soft water and hard water, or there's a difference between water with high TDS and RO water. In, you know, there are that, you know, whatever demonstration you're using to show that, the customers are only seeing it for the first or second time. I see salespeople all the time that say something like, oh, well, they've had a water softener for 25 years. They know what soft water is. They know the soap suds up. No, they don't. I promise you, the vast majority of the people out there that have had a water softener for 25 years would be blown away by the soap flask demonstration, right? So they are, and if they've had the softener for 25 years, how many of them, I bet you the vast majority of them are still using a full cup of soap, or they're still using Jet Dry, or they're still using the tablets with the chemical water softener in it. You know, they're not using less soap and detergent. And the soap flask demonstration demonstrates that they can, you know, they're spending twice as much money as they need to spend because they're treating the water chemically and mechanically. And that doesn't make sense to do it that way. So we have to go back to the basics. We have to do what you know, Tom Hopkins talked about there, where we have to find a way to remember that, we have to remember that enthusiasm, that excitement. We have to remember being impressed, because that's what our customers are seeing for the first time. Getting a lot of background noise. I'm not sure who that is there. If you guys, somebody driving, maybe mute yourself. So I don't know. What do you guys think of that? Do you agree or disagree? What are your thoughts?
I agree, because I've seen myself come get away from that style of selling, because sometimes it seems so, I don't know, I guess, cheesy, washing somebody's hands. I mean, so I'll be honest, I have gotten away from it, but I do remember that awness. It's like a magic show. It's like, mm-hmm. you know, look at this. And, you know, I do have to get back to, I love the soap flask demonstration. Yeah. And I do tell homeowners that, like, I can fill my sink up at home, my kitchen sink, with, you know, soapy, sudsy water, and soak, you know, those pans in it, come home from work, and the water's cold now, but I still have bubbles.
I still have suds. Isn't that incredible? Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So there are some, Catherine, and let's be realistic here. We're not doing, I don't think, every single demonstration that they taught us when we first started. I don't know. You know, Scott, you and I have talked a little bit about this, and I know you guys probably do a few more every time. And I think, to be clear, that's probably smart, because that's what new salespeople do, and, you know, there are probably sales left on the table. But I do believe that experience and being able to make the sale, to make the presentation a little more customer-centric, there's a trade-off there, you know, to be able to ask the questions and know what tools to use and everything. But there's some that I don't do in the home, and maybe it's just me, but like you're talking to hand washing. Hand washing, is, if done properly, is pretty powerful, Catherine. But I just, yeah. for me as a guy, I never found, it was never comfortable for me to go in. I was never, and that is my issue, you know, because I've seen people do it and they don't care, and yeah, it's not my story, so it shouldn't matter, but there are enough other demonstrations that you can show, you know, that you can show the difference that I don't feel like it's necessary to do both the soap flask and the hand washing, although I do recognize that they teach different things, you know. But I just, you know, it's like I don't want to feel uncomfortable and awkward, you know. It's in front of the customer. I think they sense that. They can tell that. And so that's the biggest reason that I even when I was in sales, just I think I did it the first couple times I was in sales, and it just never – it's like dancing. I don't dance in public either. I just feel awkward and uncomfortable. Maybe nobody else notices, but – you know, I feel it. And so, but if there is a, you know, that's not a reason a lot of people use that spin touch, and that's my biggest issue with the spin touch. We were talking a little bit about this last week too, is that a lot of people, they use the spin touch and it is an impressive test, right? That's the Lamont spin touch. And it is pretty cool, right? It looks impressive.
When it works.
Customers.
When it works.
Yeah, when it works, right. Right. But the customers, they see it and it looks different, but they are missing out on the education part of it. I think a lot of times that salespeople use the spin touch as a reason not to. So yay, yes, let's say that it's accurate and the firmware is all updated and it's working and it's giving you the right results, right? Because I know that there are certain times that it's not there. So let's say you have an accurate hardness reading of 20 grains, okay. What does that mean to the average customer? You know, it doesn't mean anything. And so it's still important. You know, it gave you a test result, but it did not explain what 20 grains is. So even if you're doing the spin touch, in my opinion, is you should still be doing the soap flask. You know, you should still be, if you're washing hands, or the wash. Yeah, you guys ever do that washcloth test? That's one that's
I've
impressive.
I've seen that done. How does that? I've seen that done. I think that's. I love that. I've seen it done on
it's
other
really
like sales presentations.
Yeah.
How do you
it's
do
really
that,
good. Scott? Do you guys do that? Do you do the washcloth?
We do.
Yeah. How do you do it? I'll tell you how I do it, or if it's different. But go ahead. Tell me how you do it.
I've seen it done different ways. I've seen where guys like bring the jar in and like a face cloth in a jar and fill it up and tell you. The way we do it is we'll take a cereal bowl and then get a clean either kitchen towel or a face cloth. And what you do is you wet the towel with the conditioned water just until you get it damp. And water being a universal solvent, as it sits there, it's going to dissolve any of the soap scum that has been trapped in the fibers and break it down. Then when we get to where we're talking about the soap flask, you take it and you wring it out into a clear glass and then hold it up to the toner and it is white with all of the soap scum that's left over. And if you're doing the soap scum, we were doing the soap flask, it's about the same color as the hard water soap flask. And it just shows all of the soap scum that's been trapped in those clothes over the years.
Yeah, so you're going a little more thorough than I usually have done it, which I like. I mean, that's good. What I've done is similar, but you can basically take a clean washcloth, you know, just a one that's been washed, even on city water. I mean, this is a really good. We talked a couple of weeks ago about the hardness levels. You know, city water often has, you know, 6 to 8 grains of hardness in it. This will work with that, and you can show that. You take a clean washcloth, and you fill a bowl. That's I have used a bowl, just a regular bowl that they have, and or you can take one in or whatever. But I, you know, I don't mind asking them for a bowl because you're asking them for a washcloth too, that they've washed, a clean washcloth. And you put it in there. I've just taken it and put it, you know, filled the bowl with soft water and taken the washcloth and basically done like you're rewashing it, you know, where you stick it in there and you swish it and wring it out, and they're bubbles, they're suds. Without any soap, I mean, you have a ton of suds, a ton of bubbles in there because of all the soap left in the washcloth that didn't get rinsed out. And you're right, if you then go the next step and you pour that into like a clear glass, it does, the color of it, that gray, nasty color, is exactly the color of the water that was in the soap, in the hard water from the soap flask. And it's really powerful demonstration. That's, you know, if you're not doing, did that help, Catherine, by the way? That helped
yeah,
you?
Yeah, definitely. And that's easy to say to a homeowner, like, hey, you want to see something really cool?
It is.
You
yep.
know, they're not going to say no.
Well, and the thing is, if they that's exactly the way I sometimes, oh, let me show you something cool. If you're excited about it, guys, and this is the purpose of this call, right, is to go back to the basics. If you are excited about what you're doing, the customers are going to sense that. If it feels like you're just routine, like you're just going in there, like it's ho-hum, like, oh, it's just a job. But if you're excited, they're going to get excited too. It can be kind of fun to go through and do this stuff, you know. So if they, I can almost, I mean, just look for the people that may have seen the soap flask and they're turned off from the soap flask part of it, you know, like they maybe they had, you know, a competitor who came in there and who just wouldn't leave, you know, it was that 3.5 hour sales presentation that, you know, it was like the guy they, I mean, I don't know if you guys, I multiple times in my career, I've heard customers tell me, oh, that last guy that came in, I almost called the cops on him. He wouldn't leave. Like I kept hinting and telling him, finally I had to tell him, we have to go to bed, get out. You know, I don't know if you guys have had that experience. I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be the guy that they had to almost call the cops on because I wouldn't leave. But they, you know, those guys are out there where they see you pull out the soap flask and they're like, oh, this again. I don't want to see this again. Well, they probably have not seen the washcloth. You know, they probably have not seen that one because people don't do that. Some people still do the soap flask, but they probably haven't seen the washcloth one. So try it. I mean, it's a pretty powerful demonstration. And I'll tell you what, even if you don't have soap flask, you can still do that one. Anyway, the point on all of this, guys, before we run out of time here, is that we need to be excited. Okay, we need to remember the way it was when we first started, when we first came in here. Now you've got the knowledge. But how do you get back that excitement that you had when you first came, when you first opened up that test kit, when you first saw it, when you first came in this industry and you started falling in love with how much of a difference you can make in people's lives, you know, and in the ability to save on the plastics that we throw in the oceans and landfills. I mean, just all the things that got you excited about being in this industry, how do you get back to that excitement? You've got the knowledge. Imagine how great you can be if you can combine that original excitement with the vast amount of knowledge that you've earned over however long you've been in the industry. Final thoughts and comments.
Yeah, I like that, just getting back to that excitement, because it shows to the homeowner. That excitement shows, and it's contagious.
Yeah. Anybody else?
I'll just say one real quick thing. My last appointment last night was with an existing customer that moved to a new house that had a water softener for 25 years. Went through and, you know, I said, you know, I know I'm probably going to tell you some stuff that you already know. However, I would be doing a disservice if you're just wanting to protect your pipes and appliances and you don't know the other features and benefits. We went through and we did the entire sync demo, and it was repeatedly, wow, wow.
Yeah.
I knew about that, but I forgot. Wow. Oh, wow. Wow. And they've had it for a long time, and sometimes you can take it for granted of what you've got. But they were so excited that not only they were going to solve the problem that they had, but they had forgotten or did not know about all the other features and benefits that they were going to get.
100%, Scott. You are 100%. And that will happen more often than not if we you know, don't cut the corners. We got to remember, I mean, you're right. You're absolutely right. We just got to remember that they are not seeing it every day like we are. Yeah, great way to end. Thanks, guys. I know there's a few of you on. I heard the things at the beginning of the call, so I know that there are people that came on. I hope that you got some value out of this. It's always a huge honor to that you guys set aside the time and come spend it here on Thursday morning. So thank you very much. We'll talk to you next week, if not before. Thanks, everybody. Be safe.
Thanks, Kelly.
Thanks. Thank you.